Welcome back to The Real, the podcast where we get real about the things that truly matter. I'm your host, Sally Luman, lifelong entrepreneur, mindset coach, and woman who has fought a few battles with life and learned when to finally put the sword down. If you're ready for something deeper, something freer, you're in the right place. Let's get real. Now, I call this episode The Mind Prison, but there is a book called The Mind Made Prison, and I read this. It was really influential by Matteo Tabatabai. I know I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but we're talking about the invisible prison we live in. Do you know what I mean? It's not built with bars or concrete. It's the one we build with our own minds. Have you ever thought of your mind as a prison? I'm recording this on a fresh spring morning here in Wisconsin. The sun's finally sticking around. The trees are budding and the grass is turning greener each day and everything outside is waking up. But that's the thing. Spring may look so beautiful, but it only arrives after a long cold winter. And believe it or not, it needs the winter. Those freezing temperatures help reset the soil. I guess they kill off the pests and prepare the earth for growth. In the winter, we often get stuck inside both physically and mentally. We hunker down in Wisconsin. We avoid the cold sometimes. We hide from discomfort. Sometimes we play in it too, but sometimes our minds can do the same, right? We retreat. We shut doors. We convince ourselves that staying closed off is safer than facing what's outside. It's easier, right? But spring is proof that the world keeps moving forward with or without your permission. It reminds us that life is on a continuum. You can stay hidden in your mind-made prison, or you can shift and choose to work with what comes. Because the real prison isn't the winter. It's what we tell ourselves about who we are, how life should be, and what we can't control. And it starts with thoughts like, this shouldn't be happening. This isn't fair. I have to fight for what's mine. We argue with life, and that's what creates our real suffering. It's not life itself that breaks us, it's our resistance to it. The resistance or the fight with life is what our struggle is. And you might recognize yourself here when you fight your own body because it doesn't look like the way it did when you were 25. You fight time because you think you're too old to start something new. You fight your marriage because your partner isn't who you thought they'd be, and the honey-do list is getting longer every day, and they're not doing any of it to your liking. You're fighting motherhood because it doesn't look like Instagram told you it would. You're fighting the housing market because you think it's impossible for me to succeed right now. You're fighting your own dreams because you're scared they won't come true, or worse, that they will and you won't be enough to handle them. We fight and we fight and we fight. And I guess in that fight, we can lose ourselves. I learned this firsthand. In 2021, I went to the dermatologist and found out that I had skin cancer on my nose. I needed surgery, and it wasn't a small one. It was a special type of surgery that looked and felt incredibly invasive. They cut down the entire length of my nose and rebuilt part of it using cartilage from my ear. Not to get too graphic, but when I asked the surgeon how many stitches I had from the top of my nose down to the corner of my mouth, he wouldn't even tell me. He said it was a lot. But the surgery went well, and I wasn't allowed to remove the bandage for about 24 hours. And the next day, I stood in my bathroom. I peeled off it was kind of goofy, maxi pad size bandage on my face and looked in the mirror, and I was numb. I was terrified. I almost felt disconnected from myself. My mind couldn't even comprehend that the face staring back at me was me. And anyone who's had surgery knows the drugs numb the pain, but your brain takes longer to catch up to the new reality. The bruising hadn't even fully developed yet, but I was already swollen, altered, changed. Here's the thing, though. Looking back, it was so crazy, but I was kind of grounded in it. In that moment, I realized I still had a choice because I know how my brain thinks. I could have mentally fought that. I could have went down this spiral of denial. I could have cried for days. I could have wallowed in the why me thinking, Or I could just trust the hands that had worked on me, and I could believe the surgeon who told me that this was the best course of action and that if I was patient, that time would heal me. I just kept kind of throwing those thoughts into my mind that were overruling my anxiety. And I did something most people wouldn't expect, and maybe some people do this. I posted the photo of my bruised, swollen, stitched up face on Facebook. And even when I was doing it, I didn't even think twice about it. I just did it, and I didn't do it for sympathy because I'm not wired that way. I did it because something in me had let go of the need to control how I was perceived. I really didn't care anymore. I allowed that moment to be what it was. And yes, it was painful, but it was freeing at the same time. And I remember thinking that at that point, it's, I can do anything with this situation. It was the shedding of a facade, becoming of myself, regardless of my human body. And in some ways, in spite of it, I remember thinking that, you know, if I was 24 years old, it would have been different, I think, as opposed to, I can't remember if I was 48 at the time. But, you know, 4 years later, there's hardly any scarring. And most people don't even know it ever happened. So the trusting of my surgeon was the right thing to do. You know, I do see the scar a little bit. It doesn't bother me. It is kind of my badge of honor. It's kind of my going through the motions and doing life the way it needs to be done. And I can tell you this, that experience showed me how much energy we waste fighting life. I have three boys, and I think, you know, if many of you have children, you can relate to this. I went into labor with my first son, and he's going to cringe when I'm talking about him. But anyway, I went through 17 hours of labor, and then only to deliver him through C-section. And now anyone who's been through it knows when you're having a baby, the only thing you really have control over is your breathing and your state of mind. You can have a birth plan, you can prep and visualize, and you know, but your body, it's on its own journey, right? And at the same point, you have to surrender to that. And that's where the peace comes for me. And then there was the season of our lives when my husband and I dove into real estate investing. We were in our late 20s, maybe early 30s, full of dreams. You know, we were still kids, young parents. And this was the early 2000s. And yes, if you know real estate, you know what's coming. It was the market crash late into the 2000s. We were living paycheck to paycheck. And when we bought into this late night real estate infomercial, Carlton Sheets, I don't know if anyone remembers him, but it was a $2,000 program, which was a lot for us, you know, at that time. And we wanted to dream, we dreamt about becoming millionaires, right? We started out slowly. Within 10 years, we had bought 11 properties. We had three kids, two cats, and we're living the dream, right? Or trying to. And then the market crash of 2008. We hadn't built up enough equity. We didn't have the reserves. And when the crash hit, we couldn't ride the wave. I was a realtor at the time and had nearly 40 listings for sale on the market. I should have known that something was going to happen. I mean, my goal was to hit 50. But in hindsight, that was the reflection of the imbalance that the world was in, that some of the indicators were showing us. It wasn't success. And many of those homes were foreclosures. I was listing properties for the banks. And I'll never forget this one day. I was in the back seat of a car with the president of the local bank and one of his lenders. And we were on our way to inspect a new foreclosure listing. And all I could think about was, tomorrow I'm going to have to tell these people that I too have to let go of my rental properties. You know, I felt like an imposter. I felt like a complete failure. I was so embarrassed. I knew that my life was shifting in a way that I couldn't control. I was angry, and because at that moment I knew that I didn't know that there was something better. I kept fighting the fact that this was reality, right? And it took me probably a year to finally let go of some of the shame, some of the drama, and maybe even longer. So every time that I've tried to wrestle life into my version of perfect, I actually suffered more. And every time I've loosened my grip, that I kind of surrendered and trusted, even when it didn't feel great, I actually found peace I didn't know was available. It's like that breathing when you're going through that labor, right? So I'll ask you this. Where are you fighting what is? What if the most powerful thing you could do is just let go? So shifting here a little bit, I heard once on a podcast that your personality actually comes from ego, right? And if fighting is a lie for yourself from ego, it's what we want to do. Fighting isn't what we want to do, right? It's what our ego tricks us into believing we have to do. Just like our personality. When I hear people say, well, I'm this and I'm that. You know, we have the tendencies to be this or that, but really that's from our ego putting a label on who we are. Your ego says, if you don't fight, you'll lose. It says, if you don't fight, someone else will take what's yours. If you don't control everything, you'll fall behind. But that is scarcity talking. That's fear talking. That's a mind that thinks there's only so much to go around. This is kind of a funny story. I had a broker once who told the story of why he had an obsession with winning the deal. He said that when he was a little boy, there were, I don't remember, it was four or five siblings in his family that he grew up. So he grew up not having a lot, right? And he remembers the special time for the family was when his dad brought home a carton of ice cream and the siblings would join around the table, fight to get their fair share. He said brain freeze was a real thing and it was painful. And if you didn't eat fast enough and it was sometimes painful, you missed out. And for some reason, I think of the story when I get the hustle mindset. The experience of eating ice cream is so awesome, but not at the expense of brain freeze, right? So anyway, let's talk real for a second. I'm a business owner. I'm a realtor. I believe in capitalism. I believe in creating wealth through value, through hard work, through service. But somewhere along the way, capitalism got confused with competition for scraps. Like, there's only a few scoops of ice cream for all of us to share, right? And that is not the truth. Wealth isn't limited. Wealth is created. Every time a new solution, a new invention, a new piece of art, a new dream is born, more wealth is born, not less. Money isn't just passed around, it's expanded. There is so much money in the world right now, and there will even be more tomorrow. So if you allow your brain to believe there's only so much, you will live like you're starving. If you train your brain to see abundance, you'll start behaving like the woman you were born to be. Creative, expansive, limitless. So here's the invitation. Let go of fighting your life. Could you do that? Could you let go of fighting your timeline? Could you let go of fighting your body, your clients, your goals, your results? Could you stop treating the world like it's your opponent? Start flowing with the real truth. You're here to contribute, to receive, and to prosper alongside others, not against them. And there's enough for all of us. And when you stop fighting, you start winning in the way the ego could never imagine. Thank you for listening to today's episode of The Real. If this message opened something inside of you, I would love for you to share it with a friend, tag me, or leave a review. Remember, you're not here to fight for your space. There's a never-ending supply of ice cream, well, and money, right? And you're here to create your space freely, boldly, and with abundance that lifts others too. Until next time, keep it real, keep it free, and keep building the life you were made for.